There's one word found in this text that we have in Titus chapter 3 and the verse 5 that is central and vital to any study regarding the saving of the soul. And that word is the word regeneration. And yet we discover that this actual word, regeneration, only appears twice in all of Scripture. Here in Titus chapter 3 and the verse 5, and over in Matthew 19 verse 28, where the word is used when speaking of the life of the child of God in heaven. And on the surface, that's an amazing thing, that a word so vital as far as gospel truth is concerned, a term so essential to the gospel, should be so infrequently employed within the sacred pages of Holy Writ. Regeneration. However, the reason why this word is employed so sparingly is because such is the nature of the work of regeneration that a number of other words are used and must be used in order to give the full picture of what regeneration really is. Because regeneration, firstly, is a birth. It has to do with a birth, being born into a family. Our brother, when he was speaking earlier, made reference to that great fact. If you glance sometime at the Gospel of John chapter 1 and the verse 13, you will see that there the Holy Ghost, speaking of those who are born into the family of God, become the sons of God, says concerning them which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The first thing that regeneration is, it is a birth. It is being born into the family of God. And such a birth, according to John 1 verse 13, is not as a result of human ties or relationships, because that verse says that an individual is born into the family of God. It's not of blood. Just because your father, your mother is a child of God, it doesn't mean that you, because of what they are on your way to heaven. Nor is this birth of regeneration as a consequence of human will or resolution. Because the Bible says in John 1:13, it is not of the will of the flesh. It's not just enough for you to want to be saved. I'd say that everyone here today, if you know the necessity of being born again, if you know the necessity of having your sins all washed away, if you know something of God's salvation, you want salvation because you desire to be in heaven. But regeneration is far more than just wanting to be saved. Nor is this birth received as a consequence of anything within man or by way of merit or righteousness. Because again, John 1:13 says that it is not of the will of man. An individual is not born into the family of God through doing good works, no matter how good works those might be. Regeneration, then, is a birth. But regeneration is something more than just a birth. Regeneration is a birth of the Lord. It has to do with a person being born of God. You'll remember what the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3 and the verse 3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the phrase being born again means to be born of God. It's a wonderful work of God, this birth. The margin of John chapter 3 and the verse 3 indicates that the word again can also be translated as being born from above. And therefore, when I'm speaking to you today in relation to this great subject of regeneration, what is regeneration? It is a birth. It is a birth that the Lord effects. It is a rebirth It is a second birth. It is not a physical birth. It is something that comes after or subsequent to a person being physically born. It is something then that is spiritual. And that's what I'd like to leave with you today in this afternoon gospel meeting. I'd like to you to think with me for a moment or two about regeneration, being born again of the Spirit of God, being saved by God's matchless grace. Could I firstly have you to consider with me the necessity of regeneration? Because the Bible leaves us in no doubt whatsoever that regeneration, being born again of the Spirit of God, is a must. Again, you'll remember what Christ said to Nicodemus. Ye must be born again. And that is a statement that is absolute. It leaves no room for exceptions. It excludes no one. It discriminates against no one. It is all inclusive as far as man is concerned. There are many musts in life. But here is the greatest must of all. Ye must be born again. So that the modernist who denies the necessity of the second birth does so against the clear light and revelation of Scripture. Never let anyone tell you that you can get to heaven without being born again. It's not true. Such a thing is a complete and total impossibility. You can search the Bible from one end to the other, and you will never once even in Scripture read of any man, any woman, any young person going to heaven without being saved, without being born again. We sang earlier, we're going home to glory soon. Well, if you want to go home to glory soon, you must be born again. Doesn't matter how upright and moral a person you might be. Nicodemus was the religious teacher in Israel. He was one of the most respected men in the whole country at the time. He recited prayers. He could recite large tracts of the Old Testament that he had learned from his earliest days. He read his Bible. He was a man who took part in church services, perhaps one of the most upright and one of the most religious men in all of Scripture. But it was to Nicodemus. And that's no coincidence. It was to Nicodemus, upright, good-living, moral, religious Nicodemus, that the Lord said, if you're going to be in heaven, Nicodemus, and I know you want to go to heaven, Nicodemus, if you're going to be in heaven, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And you might be the most moral and upright person in all of Garvan and surrounding district. But let me tell you, in love and in compassion to your soul, unless you are born again, heaven you will never see. That's what the Bible says. That's what God's Word underlines. Or maybe there's someone in this meeting today, and you are at the very other end of the spectrum from Nicodemus. As he was morally good, you are morally bad. As he was clean living, so you are anything but. As he had a good reputation, your reputation maybe is the complete opposite. You are as unlike Nicodemus as it's possible to get. And yet, thank God, tonight you too can be born again. You know, the devil's a liar. That's what the Lord Jesus called him. The devil's a murderer. That's what the Lord Jesus told him. And the devil says to some people who get down into sin, oh, there's no salvation for you. The Lord would never save you. I remember going to a woman's door in Antrim and speaking to her on one occasion concerning her soul. And she said, oh, the Lord would never save me because I've lived with someone. Never was married. The lie of the devil. The lie of the devil. And you might be here today and maybe the sin that you have committed. I don't know your background. I don't know who you are or anything about you. Maybe the sin that you are currently in, the devil has said to you as you've sat in meetings such as this in days gone past, the devil has said to you, there's no salvation for you, you know. You're too far gone. Your life is in too big of a mess. You've made too much of a shipwreck. You've involved yourself in the things and activities that have excluded you from being born into the family of God. And maybe that's how you feel today as you come through these doors and into this meeting. You're too far gone. And the old accuser has said to you, you're a hopeless case. That's not right. It's not right. Because my Bible says to me that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He can save you today. You can be regenerated today. You can be born again today. You can go home this afternoon after this meeting on your way to heaven and to home, because the Lord is able to make you a new creature. That's what might be termed the nature of regeneration. The necessity, ye must be born again. But in the nature of regeneration, if you turn to what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse 17, and you will see there that God's word says, therefore, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, if you're not yet a child of God, study this verse, study these words. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, and remember, that's what regeneration is. It's to be brought into Christ. It's to be born into the family of God. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And what that verse is saying is that in an instant when a person is born again, a new nature is implanted within them. If you've been with us in past nights, or perhaps you know from previous experience of the gospel, that we are born naturally into this world with a sinful nature. That's something we've inherited from our first parent, Adam. That sinful nature is seen in the things that we do. How do I know I'm a sinner? I know I'm a sinner by nature because of the things that I do by practice. And therein is proof. If you have ever told a lie, if you have ever committed some sort of a transgression, something you know is not right, something that is not in accordance with the commandments of God, that's how you know that you are a sinner. You were born with a sinful nature. It is proof of our sinful nature by what we do. And consequently then, being born as we were with this old sinful fallen nature, we cannot do anything else but commit sin. Oh, but in regeneration, a new nature is implanted within the individual. Ezekiel 36 and the verse 26 describes it as being given a new heart. Of course, we're speaking not about a physical heart transplant. It's a spiritual operation. It has been described as the implanting of the principle of a new spiritual life in man. And that's what happens when an individual is born again. In that instant that they receive Christ as their Savior, they are given a new heart. Spiritually speaking, this new principle of life is implanted within. It is something which happens in an instant of time. It is a secret and in many ways a mysterious work of God, which is completed without the individual directly perceiving that it's taking place. It's only as time progresses that the evidence of this new heart is seen in its effect. But the result of being given this new heart in the moment when we're converted to the Lord Jesus Christ is that the person
is radically changed. And that's what will happen if you get saved today. You'll be changed. You'll become a new creature, in the words of 2 Corinthians 5 and the verse 17. Just as your sinful nature previously caused you to live for sin, so the new nature that you will be given at your conversion will incline you toward the Lord and to the things of God. Oh, you'll still commit sin because the remnants of the old nature still dwells within. But after conversion, a true conversion, being born of the Spirit of God, after conversion, you will no longer live for sin. You'll no longer feel happy with your sin or comfortable when you commit sin. No, you'll begin to long to live more and more for the Lord. That's a change that only regeneration can bring. Being born again of the Spirit of God, how many a person tried in their lifetime to clean up their life. Said, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to quit the drink. I'm going to sign the pledge. I'm forsaking the card schools and the bookies. And they make these resolutions in their life, and it might last for a week or two. Maybe they begin to blow the dust off the Bible and they start to read it. They start to say their prayers. They begin to frequent the house of God. They attempt to make themselves more religious in some cases. But it all peters out after a week or two. Like the New Year's resolutions. Before the end of January, they're forgotten, they're forsaken. The Bible speaks in relation to the individual trying to turn over a new leaf, about the dog returning to its vomit and the sow to her wallowing in the mire. You can take a sow and you could put a pink bow on her and you could bath her and you could scrub her clean and you could do her toenails and you could paint them and you could do all kinds of things. You could twist her tail and put a bow on her tail. But the first chance she gets, she'll be back into the mire and the muck again because she's still in nature a sow. Her heart, her nature has never been changed. And that is what regeneration is. Thank God, regeneration, the regeneration of the soul is different. It's not just turning over a new leaf in our own will or trying to clean up our life. Thank God, regeneration is not something that wears off after a week or two. Regeneration is a work of God within the heart. An implanting of this new nature, this new desire for God and for the things of God. And in regeneration, all the faculties of the soul are affected. The intellect, the will, and all the affections. The members of the body which are appointed to be instruments of righteousness are also affected. The life is cleaned up. The body which was abused and mistreated in sin is in regeneration or after regeneration honored as the temple of the Holy Ghost. The filthy tongue is transformed and the individual begins to speak of the Lord and of the things of God with a reverence and a godly fear. The old haunts and the sin houses are forsaken and the dens of iniquity are no longer frequented. Why? Because the person who gets saved becomes a new creature. This is a work of God within the heart. Sovereign work of God within the heart. That is why the Bible teaches that when a person gets saved, they're changed, they're transformed. Not just a matter of raising your hand in a meeting or signing a wee card and going and celebrating down and having a few drinks with the boys. No. The individual who gets saved will be changed. They'll be transformed. They're made a new creature in Christ. Some were here the other night. Was it Thursday night to hear our brother testify from Ballybina? And you heard of the change that was wrought in his life after he found the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And I would say our brother loved his sin as much as anybody in this meeting. But what the Lord did for Tom Laverty, he is able to do for you. He can save you. He can change you. And the change at salvation, the change in the individual is amazing, because regeneration is entirely a work of God, the Holy Ghost. And that's what you're offered today in the gospel. Are you tired of the old life, the old sinful ways? Are you tired of the muck and the mire of sin? Are you tired of all the pleasures so-called of this world that brings no real happiness whatsoever? Well, thank God, here is a new start. The Lord is offering you today a new heart, a new life, a new destination. There's the nobility of regeneration. And I've already alluded to it, because it's a noble work, is the work of regeneration, because it's all of God. The Lord alone can regenerate you. It's not something that the Free Church can do. No, you could come to Garva Free Presbyterian Church all your life, and you could attend any meeting, and you could attend every meeting. Coming to the church will never regenerate you. No man can regenerate you. A minister, a priest cannot perform the work. You cannot regenerate yourself. It takes a miracle of God, the Holy Ghost, because you are spiritually dead in trespasses and in sins. You were born naturally into this world without any spiritual life. Therefore, you cannot contribute anything to your being born again. In regeneration, or in being born again, the Spirit of God works directly upon the individual. Titus 3 and the verse 5 speaks of us being saved by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And the word renewing there indicates a renovation or a complete change for the better. This change is something that is exclusively the work of the Holy Ghost. Oh, that you might feel the Lord speaking to your heart today. That you might hear the invitation of the gospel to come unto Christ and be saved. Yes, regeneration is a work of God, the Holy Ghost, but in the mysterious will of God, there is a responsibility laid upon you as a sinner who hears the invitation of the gospel to respond to the invitation of the gospel, to accept Jesus Christ as your own and your personal and your eternal Savior. Oh, may the Lord speak to your heart today. Because prior to regeneration, the Lord will convict a man or woman of their sin. He will make them unhappy in their sin. He will let them see something of the heinous nature of their sin. And then he will reveal to them Jesus Christ, the one who died upon the cross for sin. Has the Lord spoken to you today about your soul? If he has, then thank God, you are blessed of God indeed. You know, I fear for people, because all our churches of people who have come and gone from the house of God for years, and yet they never get saved. I fear for people who have a concern for others. I remember a man in many years ago in Ballymena, who, when he heard a gospel mission was coming, he said at the time, "Oh, I'll have to get such and such into the mission. He's not saved, you know. I'll have to get him in." I remember another man in Antrim, and when his mother was lying in the hospital and she was seriously ill, near the point of death, he came to me and he said, "Would you visit my mother? I'm scared that she's not saved." And yet he wasn't converted to Christ either. As far as I know, he's still not converted to Christ, sitting for years. And I fear for people who can attend gospel missions year after year, month after month, week after week perhaps, who can come two or three nights to a gospel campaign and never be moved, never be concerned, never be troubled about the state of their soul or where they will spend eternity. If the Lord hasn't spoken to you today, lift up a prayer, lift your heart up to the Lord and ask Him to speak now. Ask Him to speak to you now. If you're serious about going to heaven, ask Him to speak to you now. And listen to what He has to say. Ask Him to be gracious unto you and show you your need. And then, as He reveals your need unto you, invite Him into your heart to be your Savior. William J. Kirkpatrick was a carpenter in the early 20th century in America. He was also a very talented and a versatile musician. He played a number of instruments and he became a prolific hymn writer. He was involved musically over a number of years in different gospel missions right throughout America. At one particular series of meetings, he noticed that one of the young men who was taking part in the meeting as a soloist would never stay to the end of the service. He'd always leave before the preaching. That troubled him greatly. And he feared within his heart that this young man always left the meeting because he didn't know Christ as his Savior. And he began to pray that God would somehow enable him to get to the soloist's heart and to tell him something of Christ and to ask him what was going on. As he thought about these things, he began to think of the words of a hymn. He jotted them down. He asked the young soloist to sing the words of this hymn that very night after the hymn was completed in the writing and the composing. And he noticed that having finished the singing, then the young man, contrary to what he usually did, he sat down and he sat through the rest of the meeting. And at the end of the service, the young man came to the Lord Jesus Christ, gave his heart to the Lord. He was born again, regenerated by the mighty power of God. The words of the hymn that Kirkpatrick wrote and the young man sung, they're found in our hymn book, hymn number 269. I wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home, coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home. Maybe you've wandered from your mother's God and your father's Savior. Maybe you've brought shame, I don't know, to the family name by your exploits and by your sin. It's time tonight, or today, to come from the far country, to come to Christ, to be saved, have your sins dealt with, and be forgiven at the cross. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Let's bow in a word of prayer, please.